God real in your life? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Did anybody bring an extra thank you today? Did you bring one praise the Lord? Well, give it to him now. Just give him praise. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Your grace and mercy. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. Let us go there and see what the Lord has to say to us today. We've been talking about the theme on suffering with Christ, suffering with Christ, enduring those suffering times and struggles. Just to make sure we're in the right crowd, how many of you all have suffered? Amen. All right, I got a few folk that have suffered. How many of you all have never suffered? Don't worry. It's coming your way. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse number 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he threw himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and get yourself down, that the rain does not stop you. And it came to pass in the meantime that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. May the Lord continue to bless the reading of his word. I want to share with you a thought today, praying for a sign. Praying for a sign. Look at somebody and say, I need a sign. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we are grateful that you've blessed us and brought us to this place together for worship, but we realize the critical times that we're living in. Realize that this is a day and age where all of us are struggling. Some are struggling physically, some are struggling financially. Many are struggling emotionally, and all of us struggle spiritually. Because we want better days, we want better things. And sometimes those things elude us. The joy that we would have in life, it eludes us. But God, we know that you're the source of all joy. So I pray that you'd bless us now, help us to hear your word, but then after we have heard, help us to be doers of your word, that we might be obedient children and apply the truths that will set us free. We love you and we thank you. All of your blessings, in Jesus' name we do pray. And all the grateful people said amen. For those that are joining us online, in a few minutes we're going to be celebrating communion. We do that once a month here at our church, where we recognize that Christ's sacrifice made it possible for all of us to be saved, to be delivered from sin. So if you're at home, if you're watching, and you're watching us live, I trust that you will get some communion bread, some crackers, and some juice, and we'll celebrate together as we worship the Lord. Why do we need a sign? Why do we need signs? Why are they important to us? Some might answer, they give us direction. They inform us of things that we may not be aware of. They also can signal that something is happening. In the military, long before we had the intelligence now that we enjoy in the military, they would give signals. They would send different signs that things were happening, or it's ready to do this now and ready to do that. We are familiar with signs. And I'm going to add that you need signs spiritually. You need them to help you. Because spiritually, we do not know where we're going. The greatest sign that we'll ever have is this book. The Bible says that God would bring things back to your remembrance. He will speak to you. He'll warn you. He'll teach you. He will instruct you. He will help you as you journey through life. Don't you wish they had a GPS for living? That'd be neat. Just put in your destination and then head off. Well, God knows that we needed such direction in our lives, and so we're going to visit with a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet. He was sent from his homeland in the land of Judah to go up north and talk to the folk up there because they had gone astray. They were worshiping the Baal idols. They were turning away from God and committing wickedness in the sight of God. And so God said to Elijah, go up there, talk to those folk and warn them. Let them know that they're disobedient to the will of God. And the first thing that Elijah said when he landed there, when he set foot on the grounds of northern Israel and the tribes of Ephraim and all of the other northern tribes, first thing he said, there ain't gonna be no rain. People going, what, man? We got plenty of rain. He said, God is going to send a drought upon the land. Reason being, you've turned away from God. You have ignored the one who blessed you. You've turned your back on him. Now God is going to punish you. Please note that God could have destroyed them. But in his grace and mercy, the Lord said, I'm not going to send judgment of destruction. I'm going to send punishment to turn you around. Isn't that how God loves you and me? He could flat out destroy us. He could deny us our next breath, our next heartbeat. But in his mercy, in his love, God allows our golden moments to roll on just a little while longer. What a blessing. Somebody said, what a friend we have in Jesus. So 3 years had gone by. No rain. No rain. And also, Elijah had remained in the background. Nobody could even find him. Matter of fact, the king thought Elijah was the reason for them having this drought, this dry season. We do that. We like to blame other folk for why we in trouble. Yeah. But blaming, even though they may cause it, is not going to solve your problem. You may as well go on and try to find a solution rather than pointing the finger to everybody else. You're the reason why I'm messed up. No, no, you jacked up on your own. So Elijah makes the great announcement. After 3 years, he makes the announcement. God's going to send rain. As a matter of fact, they had joined together on Mount Carmel. You remember that, where Elijah stood on Mount Carmel. And they had a contest between which one was God. If the Lord, he is God, he'll answer by fire. If Baal is God, he'll answer. They didn't hear from Baal, they heard from God. Because God loved them just that much. Sent the fire, consumed the sacrifice. And it seemed to be that Israel was turning around. They were beginning to acknowledge the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. They were saying that with their lips. But it hadn't reached their heart. Listen to me a little while. I'm an old preacher now. It takes me a little while to crank up. I'm like an old Dodge. If we're going to start, just going to take a while. Something unusual happens in the scripture. Because now they've had this sign that has come from God, something unusual happens. Elijah makes the pronouncement, God is going to end this drought. He's going to send rain from heaven. And he tells Ahab, the wicked king, the one who is responsible for all of this because he led the people into Baal worship. He and his wife, Jezebel. Y'all heard of her, right? Bad girl, bad girl. You wouldn't like her. You wouldn't like her in your community. She's bad girl, bad. I'm talking about bad. She didn't like folks. She didn't like her. She'd kill you. That's how bad she was. Wicked. Just mean. You ever seen mean folk like that? Folk just mean because they can be mean. You ought to have a good day sometime. Amen. Look at somebody tell them, no, don't do that. I'm going to get y'all in trouble. So he makes the announcement to Ahab. Ahab, you go and you eat and drink, but I'm going to Mount Carmel. Same place where God performed the miracle, and I'm going to pray. He doesn't say that, but that's exactly what he does. He goes to Mount Carmel, and he enters into a time of prayer. And when I read that passage, I said to myself, if he's certain that God is going to send rain, why is he praying? He's praying for a sign. Let me give you something that is very important in our life as we suffer in Christ. We've kind of gone over these things that, well, God uses suffering to train us. Suffering is also a time that is temporary. It's only temporary what we're going through. But also God provides strength. Everybody say strength. God provides strength and power for every trial. There is this process of going through your trial. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. You're in between the promise of God and the provision of God. All right? You know it's coming, but you haven't got it yet. It's kind of like the checks in the mail. If God said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. But the question that we have in our mind is, when is God going to do what he said? I know some of you all have prayed it because I prayed it. If you don't mind raising your hand, just raise your hand and say, yeah, I prayed that sometime. When is God going to deliver me? When is God going to send his blessing? When is God going to work things out? When is God going to turn things around? When is he going to hear my prayer? When? And the answer is, in his own time. In his own time. Here's the critical point for Elijah. He needed reassurance just like you. He needed to know and have it confirmed in his mind, yes, God is going to do this. We all love to sing that song, the Lord's going to make a way somehow, but sometimes we need to know what is the how. It helps us to endure our suffering. It helps us to make it through that season where we're trying to seek God. There's a process. When you pray and you're asking God for a sign or a confirmation, when you're asking God to lay it upon your heart and give you peace of mind that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. Haven't got it yet, but you have the blessed assurance that God is going to make it possible. Everybody with me so far? That process involves three basic things that you need to do if you're going to pray and ask God for a sign. Are y'all on board with me? Elijah did every one of them. He asked God to lead him, and the Lord had guided him. The Lord had directed him in carrying on the business of the kingdom. He had done what God had wanted him to do. He had confronted Ahab. He confronted the prophets of Baal, and now he is waiting for God to provide that answer in his life. You in your life, you've read the scripture, you prayed, you've dedicated yourself, you've said to God, Lord, I'm going to serve. You're now serving, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Not a cloud in the sky. And yet he said, it's going to rain. So what does he do? He doesn't panic. He doesn't say, oh, well, God must not meant what he said. God meant exactly what he said. He goes to Mount Carmel. And he gets on the ground. Face between it, that can't be comfortable. Now, I prayed a number. I prayed stretched out. I prayed kneeling. I prayed standing up. I prayed in my car. I don't think I've ever prayed where you just come and put your hand between your head between your knees. Then you do that when you're on a flight and you think it's going to crash. That's when you do that. But here is Elijah praying, and he sends his servant to the edge of the place where he's praying. He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I don't see anything." And he sent him back seven times until he saw something. First thing that you need to do, if you're going to deal with the situation of you now between what God promised and what God is going to provide, if you're in that space, here's the first thing that you need to do. Get above the problem. He climbed Mount Carmel, and he wanted to see all of the region of northern Israel, but he also saw the sea from which water was going to come. You need a sign. A lot of times we pray, and we pray at what we call problem level. Problem level. We're going to tell God all about the problem. We're going to tell him how bad it is, when it happened. We're going to do a diagnosis of the problem. Say, "God, here it is." Like he don't know. And we're going to tell him, we're going to be very specific and say, "Oh, by the way, I need an answer by 11 o'clock. Are y'all on board with me? Get above the problem. Jesus taught us when we pray, the first thing you do is you get your mind on God. You say, "Our Father," not "my problem." Yeah. "Our Father," where? "Which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name." Are y'all still with me? Yeah. If you never get above the problem, even after the problem gets solved, you can still have it in your mind. Didn't know that, did you? You will never have it out of your system until you get at the level where you understand this is God. And he's more than anything else that could ever happen in my life. Yeah, I got bad things that have happened. I've got messed up things that have happened in my life. But I'm not going to think about them. I'm going to think about God, because guess what? As Mahalia Jackson said, he got the whole world in his hand. You ever thought about that? So Elijah gets above the problem. If you're going to deal with solutions in life and answers to prayer, you've got to get above the problem, above problematic thinking. That's what covers your mind all the time. It's almost like you're drowning in it. Every morning you wake up, the same problem confronting you and facing you, and now you're saying to yourself, "Life is not worth living." Yes, it is, because God gave you your next heartbeat. Get above the problem. Second thing Elijah does, I'll move right along. Hang on. You got to get away from unbelieving people. Notice he said to Ahab, "Go on about your business." As we say in the country, "Go on now." Why do you need them in your prayer room? Why do you need them taking up your time? Now, granted, Ahab and Jezebel, they were the problems. And yes, what Elijah could have done, he said, "Lord, I need to bring them into you in prayer, and I need to let you know what they've done and all of these things." No, he said, "No, y'all go about your business. I've got some business I need to take care of." I think one of the reasons why the church is so powerless is because, rather than us spending time with God, we're spending time going over stuff and people, sorting through all of the bad relationships, all of the bad experiences, all of the stuff that just takes up precious time in your prayer room instead of you talking to God and learning how sweet he is and how glorious and how powerful and how awesome God is. Learning more about him. Now you're just going over stuff that you should have set aside a long time ago. Say this with me. I can change nobody. I can't even change myself. Only God can bring about a change And if you don't believe that today, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to tell you. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord. So he says to Ahab, you go ahead, go eat and drink if that's what you want to do, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, when you don't pray to God and get other people out of your mind, that means you really haven't forgiven them. Did I say something? If you're spending more time talking about folk, Ahab, Jezebel, listen, they can't make you breathe. They can't do things in your life the way God can. You got to let them go. People getting on my nerves, and let me tell the Lord all about, let them go. You talk to Jesus. I know I'm messing up somebody's theology. I know I am. I knew that when I left home this morning. I knew this when the Lord gave me the sermon. I knew it was going to mess with somebody's theology. But I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to give you power in prayer because you need a sign from God. Elijah was praying for a sign from God. Here's the third thing that happened. Get to the need. Address the need. Ladies and gentlemen, when Elijah was on that mountaintop talking to God, he knew where the source was. He knew that water had to come from somewhere, and it wasn't coming from the land. It could have. Matter of fact, God can bring water out of rock, but God directed his attention. Elijah, focus on the sea. That sea represents the massive amount of God's love and God's grace in your life. When you are sure, when you are certain that the Lord will provide, you know that he's going to send the answer. Some people say, send it on down. He may not have to send it down. He just might need to send it over. Amen. Let me give you a classic example. If I'm praying and the Lord lets me focus on Bill Gates or somebody else, I'm going to pray for them, Lord, lay it on their heart. My point is this. Elijah knew that God was going to provide. He knew that the provisions were going to come. And so he wanted to be involved in the process. Everybody say involved in the process. Here's where we have to look at the church again and say, why are we weak? What we think is that God somehow is going to do things what we call superhero-like. What's a superhero? We give a problem to the superhero. He comes in, swoops in, saves the day, and then we go, yay, everything's great. God involves you. Elijah recognized that the Lord was involving him in this process of praying, in this process of delivering the truth to the people. That's why the Lord had sent him. See, many times your calling, what God wants you to do, may not involve public speaking. It may involve getting involved with the public and letting them know that God is real. This world is denying God at every hand. They're saying God is not real. The Lord ain't real. And who are the witnesses? We are. But if you don't know where the power is going to come from, you're just as weak as the world. And so what do? We shut our mouth. We come in here, we praise the Lord, we thank God for everything that he's done. Then we get out of here, we're silent. We don't want to offend anybody. We've already offended them. And plainly, we've offended God because we've not stepped up. We've not said, Lord, here am I. Send me. So let me just share with you Elijah in prayer. That servant going back and forth. He's saying, I ain't seen nothing. And Elijah said, go back one more time. And all of a sudden he sees a small hand rising up out of the sea. I don't know whether you all have ever been in the Midwest, but you can see when a storm is going to come. Because the land is flat, you can see. It looks very small. It looks like it's almost like, oh, that's not going to do anything. But by the time it gets to where you are, now we're talking major clouds and rain. He saw that small hand emerge up out of the sea, rising up. That's your blessing that's coming your way. That small hand of God that you think, well, doesn't look like much, but wait till it gets to you. I can see it in a distance, but I know that God can make a way out of no way. When you trust God, when you release that problem to God, the Lord will send the answer, and sometimes it's the most insignificant thing that you can even imagine, and yet if you accept it, watch God work miracles. Look at somebody, tell them, watch God. The Lord comes in that he might bless us. So here are the things that we need to look for if we're praying for a sign. One, it is a call to action. Your prayers mean something to the living God. Never think to yourself, well, the Lord doesn't hear my prayer. Yes, he does. God hears every prayer except one. And you know what that one is? That's the prayer that you don't pray. Some prayers he says yes to, some he says no, some he says wait, but God hears and he answers every prayer that you pray except the one that you don't pray. It's a call to action. And I call to the body of Christ as us, as believers in God, I say we need to pray. Well, I can't pray so well. You can get in and repeat the scripture. You can say what the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. At least you're acknowledging God. And then you can just say to the Lord, Lord, change things around me. Change things in me. Pray, because that's your call to action. Second thing you need to recognize in this process is that God is now, he's showing you the need for his hand in your life. We've got technology and we can do amazing things. Your cell phone has now replaced computers that will fill up this entire building. Right at your fingertip, right at the cell phone. But power does not come from a cell phone. Power still comes from God. You've got to acknowledge him. And notice something in this verse that that happened to Elijah. While Ahab was now in his chariot riding to Jezreel, here is Elijah, and it simply says the hand of God was upon him. As a matter of fact, he got to Jezreel before Ahab did, because when you got the hand of God upon you, don't take you long. That God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. What does it mean to have God's hand upon your life? It means that you are going to do what God has assigned you. It's going to be done. If you keep the hand of the Lord upon your life, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing impossible. Our thing is, we don't know how to handle rejection. We don't know how to handle it when folks don't like, some folk ain't gonna like you, period. Amen. And then other people that really, really like you, they're gonna like you no matter what, even when you mess up, even when you, my mama would love me even when I did wrong. Now she'd go upside my head, but I mean, you got to know what you're praying about. You got to know that you're praying for a sign from heaven. You're praying for a sign from God. You're praying that God would do things in your life that you cannot do on your own. Elijah recognized that even though he pronounced the promise of rain, he could not make it rain. God had to make it rain. And what he was on Mount Carmel doing is saying, Lord, show me your process. Show me how you're going to work me through this thing. Show me how that you're going to work it out. Lord, dry the tears from my eyes long enough so that I can see the miraculous hand of God upon my life. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the world might be turned against you, but if God is on your side, he's more than the world against you. I'll tell you something else. You've made it this far. Can I get a witness? Has the Lord ever let you down? Has he ever stopped blessing you? And what you got to do is hold on. Look at somebody and tell them, hold on a little while longer, and God's going to make everything all right. Lastly, I focus on our position in Christ. You have been given a position in Christ. Either you are active or you're inactive. Are you with me? Now, I believe in the fact that once you're saved, you cannot be lost, but I believe that also you can be inactive. Why are you now inactive? Because somebody said something and it offended me. They go always say, they've been saying it since the beginning of time. Come on, join the club. You've got to hold your head up and stop looking at who's talking at you and look at who's speaking in you. God spoke a word in me. God spoke a word in my heart. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Amen? Amen. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe that if God is on your side, you're going to be able to stand up and tell the world that my God is real. Do I have any witnesses in here today? Stop letting people talk you down. Stop letting Facebook control your life. Boy, it got quiet in here then. You have a position in Christ, and you need to take your position. I'm going to get you set up for the next Sunday sermon now. I'm going to get you set. Here's what happened. Elijah got all excited because the rain was coming. By the time that he got down from Mount Carmel, the sky was dark, clouds, I mean, it's thundering, it's getting ready to rain. The rain is now ascending. Ahab is in his chariot, he's rode, but now the hand of God is on Elijah. Why? He had prayed for a sign. Now, here's what he's thinking in his mind. Oh, everybody going to turn around. Everybody in Israel going to get saved. Everybody in Israel going to straighten up. As soon as I get to Jezreel, we're going to finish this job. Man, we started at Mount Carmel, and it's been confirmed. It's on now. How many of y'all got excited about something? Got excited, knew it's going to happen right then, right there. And when you got to Jezreel, it put on the brakes. What happened? Elijah felt alone. Now, I'm not going to close the sermon right there because that's going to kind of like end on a down note. But notice the hand of God was still on him. Some of you got the hand of God that's still on you. You put on the brakes, or maybe somebody else has said, stop. And now you're standing still. You're paralyzed. Because you thought what they said can stop God's work. They lied. They might delay it, but they can't stop it. What God put in you is going to be done. I said it's going to be done. Because the same God that willed it will make it possible. Do I have any witnesses here? Can I go back to what they call the old church? God will make a way out of no way. Won't he do it? The Lord brought you to where you are now. You are mature enough to say, now that God's hand is upon me, I just can't stop serving the Lord. Can you get a hand clap in here today? Amen? Here are three quick takeaways. I've taken up your time. I know you got food on the stove back home and trying to get back into the mall day. But here are three quick takeaways from this sermon. What do you mean by this? First of all, living right is no exemption from problems. Was Elijah living right? Of course he was. Was he doing the will of God? Yes, he was. And now folks want to kill him. Ain't that something? How many of y'all feel like you're in good company when you do the right thing and folk talk about you? Rather than talking about good, now they run you down like you're a dog. I'm going to preach just like a T.I. is. But you got a greater work going on in you. You got something excellent going on in you. And God he doesn't just want to finish it. He wants to perfect it. But if you get discouraged every time folk talk, my goodness, didn't they take Jesus and talk about him? And didn't Jesus say, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for great is their reward in heaven. Didn't he say it? Second thing, so you're not exempt. You're going to face some problems. Second thing, prayer includes us in God's plan. You will never discover what God wants you to do until you discover the purpose of prayer. When you get on your face before God and say, Lord, show me what it is that I need to know about you, he'll show you his plan. Then last thing, go on to my seat with this. Prayer moves God's hand that moves. moves us. It moves God's hands that moves us. I know you say, I want the will of God to be done. Well, guess what? Get ready to move. Because when God focuses and plans to do something in the earth, he does it through people. Come here, Moses. By the way, I'm relating to Moses more and more every day. I find out why Moses did some of the things he did. You passionate folk, oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me just say, it gets real interesting. Anybody want to take my job for a week? Yeah. No, I love it. I love it because God loves me and God loves you. Moses was sent at the age of 80 to deliver people who were in slavery, institutional slavery in Egypt. Now, he didn't just go against a bunch of Boy Scouts. He went against one of the mightiest dynasties, the mightiest nation of that day, Egypt, the Egyptian Empire. So what did God give him? Gave him a stick. See, you go down there and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God started a movement through one 80-year-old man who believed that God was able. A couple of things this says about you. One, your assignment is not that great. Two, most of us in this room are not 80. Some of us that are, it gives you some hope. Amen? Because if God could use 80-year-old man who was self-proclaimed as being verbally challenged, I can't talk, and yet he did. What happened? The hand of God was upon him. The hand of God is upon your life and my life. Get ready to move in that direction. Father, thank you. Wow. You spoke some things today. And you meant every word of it. Help us to face the challenge. We're not facing issues the way Elijah did. We got some things that we need to address. Some needs that we need to take care of. But none so great as what he faced. But we're praying that you would help us so that it would not be our own efforts, but it would be the hand of God. Touch us, Lord, so that we would know that it's our time to move. And then help us so that we would also know that this great work is totally dependent upon you. May we find favor in your sight and grace that will help us through. And Lord, for that one that's never prayed a prayer to ask you to come into their life, they try to live life on their own and finding out it doesn't work that way. May they humble themselves and say without a doubt, Lord, I believe in you. Save me and help me to be a Christian. We love you and we thank you. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we do pray. And all the believers said, amen. I want to ask that we all stand. I want to give the invitation. In a few minutes, we're going to celebrate the Lord's sacrifice. And by the way, I served some of y'all ahead of time, so you got it. So we're going to serve everybody in the communion. But I just want to let you know that it means something to know what Jesus did for you and me. He gave his body and his blood for you and I, that we might believe in him.
Whatever you want.
There's one. Will you come?
Say the words and I'll obey them.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Wherever you want me to go, take my hand Show me the way, yes. If you need someone to climb the rugged hills, no matter what the cost, here am I. Oh Lord, I'll do your will. I'll do your will. I may not be very much, but all I am, I'll give it to you, Lord. Anoint me with your touch, and I'll be cleansed when you get through, yeah. Lord, I know that I'm not all that I should be, and I faltered on your word, but here am I. Oh Lord, here am I. Oh Lord, here am I. Oh Lord, I'll do your will. Yes, I will. I'll do your will. I may not be very much.
All right, take your time.
But all I am, I'll give it to you, Lord. Anoint me with your touch, and I'll be cleansed when you get through, Lord. Lord, I know that I'm not all that I should be, and I faltered short of your word, but here am I. Oh Lord, here am I. Oh Lord, I'll do your will. I'll do your will. Singing, oh, precious is that flow that makes me, yeah, know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can sing it all. is there. Why? No. Found out nothing but the blood of Jesus. I know it was the blood.
Yes.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the Lord saved me. Though in one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. I know it was the blood saved me.
Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the sacraments that we can celebrate. Thank you for just being able to receive it into our lives by faith, to know what it means to have the body of Christ come together and communion with you. We love you and we thank you. Bless these sacraments now. Change them from their natural to spiritual use, that it might be applied in our service to give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take the bread and let us eat together. Let us take the cup and let us drink together. We thank God for his sacrifice and what he's done for us, and how that we as the body love the Lord and serve him with all our heart, mind, and soul. Amen. We're going to continue with the furtherance of our service. We're going to ask our officers to prepare themselves as we give our gifts and offerings unto the Lord.